This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torva. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Kate and Sophie, I must say, I often pay you guys out for being overly influenced by social media trends, and I'm surprised to see that you guys haven't yet adopted the curtain bangs.
Well, no, I definitely won't be adopting that. I think it looks amazing on some people, but I feel like I'm still trying to grow my fringe out that I had when I was 12 years old. That's how slow my hair grows. So no, I will not be jumping into any fringe trends.
I feel like it's just in the past 2 weeks that I've seen everyone getting them, and also the layered look, which I feel like was very 2000s, because as you say, my hair has really struggled with that layers. I mean, a lot of the layers were caused by straightening, so they weren't actually purposely put in my hair. And it's so funny because I have literally been trying for probably 2 years now to grow out the front pieces of my hair to all meet up. So now I'm like, of course, finally, when it's reaching that point, now suddenly it's in fashion to have a fringe.
Yeah, but as soon as you get yours cut, you'll be out of fashion and you'll be fucked.
Yeah, I was rocking curtain bangs for about, you know, as I said, probably 5-6 years whilst I'm trying to grow my fringe out.
Well, Chloe Zepp, she's got the curtain bangs and they look really good. And also, friend of the show, Courtney Magnan, her hair looks amazing. She's just got them done too.
It did. It looked so good. Yeah, I mean, when those girls got their curtain bangs, it did make me think, maybe. But no, I'm sticking to it because I'm in it for the long haul. Like, I've been trying to grow my hair for so long. It's actually starting to get longer. Unfortunately, not thicker, but we'll deal with what we've got.
I feel like we're going to all look so retro, though, with our curtain bangs, our fat-legged jeans. I mean, what is going on?
Yeah, and even when I was at Marion the other weekend, I saw all this, like, 70s shit in typo.
Sorry, I love how you say Marion. That's a shopping centre that Kate frequents. Not everyone knows what Marion is.
They had those old plates. They literally look like grandma and grandpa's old plates, and they're probably selling them for about $15 each.
Yeah, it blows my mind all that crap's coming back.
We'd love to hear if anyone in our community has gone and got the curtain bangs. Go to our Facebook group, which is Outspoken, the podcast community. Tell us,
do you... Sounds so old. Has anyone gone and got those curtain bangs?
Share some before and after photos. I always love them as well.
Sorry, can I just say, no one calls fringes bangs. That's an American term. It should be curtain fringe.
It's the trendy term now,
Amy. Curtain fringe doesn't sound good. That just sounds really stupid.
Curtain bang actually sounds really rude.
It's just hair.
It's not just hair, look.
It's brown.
It's chestnut with auburn highlight. No, you're not around women. You don't know how important a man's hair is.
I know it.
On April 9th, Shameless announced their podcast was embarking on a new era with the release of their latest spin-off, Scandal. The podcast, which will deep dive celebrity controversies, has already been compared to the mega successful You're Wrong About podcast. However, things took an even more interesting twist when Shameless's former employers and rivals, Mamma Mia, announced their own investigative podcast series. Kate, can you tell us what's happened?
Well, let's take it back to the start. So on April 9, Shameless announced that they would be releasing a new podcast called Scandal. Now, unlike their other spin-off series, Scandal is actually appearing in the Shameless podcast feed on a Monday, and it's going to be replacing their In Conversation episodes. So basically, the girls have hinted that they will cover topics including Princess Diana, Britney Spears, Lara Bingle, and the Janet Jackson Super Bowl drama. So I found it really interesting because in an Instagram reel where they introduced the new concept, Michelle Andrews said that they were inspired to create Scandal after they did some research into Princess Diana for a Shameless podcast episode released on November 30. So when you go back and have a listen to this episode, particularly in the first introduction, it's quite clear that it was the You're Wrong About podcast that inspired the concept. So let's take a listen back at what Michelle and Zara said.
If there's one thing taking hold of the zeitgeist at the moment, it is Princess Diana. It's been 23 years since the former princess died, and it feels a little bit like the world won't ever fatigue from telling and hearing her story. This month, The Crown Season 4 dropped, introducing Princess Diana to legions of the show's fans who are perhaps too young to remember or accurately appreciate the impact she had on the British royal family and the world at large. The American podcast You're Wrong About, yes, the one I just mentioned before, last month released a 5-part series on the Princess of Wales' journey from kindergarten teacher to world's most photographed woman, a podcast so popular it's currently sitting at number 4 on the Aussie podcast charts.
Before we dissect what the girls said, for those who haven't heard of the podcast You're Wrong About, it's an independent podcast produced by American journalist Michael Hobbs and Sarah Marshall, and the podcast was launched in 2018, and it's hit number 1 in the podcast charts in Australia as well as America in 2020, and I think it was one of those podcasts that everybody listened to during lockdown.
Oh, I binge listened to the Princess Diana series and was obsessed with the OJ Simpson one and the Jessica Simpson series.
Yeah, and what I really love about their podcast is every week they look at a different event, person, or phenomenon that has been miscast in the public's imagination.
Yeah, so you can really see that there are a lot of similarities between the podcast that Shameless are planning to release and this very popular American podcast. Do you guys think that Zara and Michelle should have actually mentioned that they drew inspiration from this amazing podcast? Because as an avid listener of Shameless, it's quite clear that they listen to the podcast. They've recommended it before and referenced it in stories that they have covered.
Well, I actually only found out about You're Wrong About from that Princess Diana episode that they did. As soon as they spoke about it, I went and listened to the podcast and became obsessed with it like so many other people. So I really do feel like because they put out so many clues along the way that they listen to it and enjoy the podcast, it would have been nice to just throw out the fact that they were inspired by it. In saying that, I suppose we all haven't heard the podcast yet. Well, just to be fair though, there are other podcasts that talk about similar topics that You're Wrong About does. I don't necessarily think they have to reference the podcast, but I suppose it becomes awkward because everyone just assumes it is kind of a ripoff of You're Wrong About.
I think you make a really fair point. And to be completely transparent, we were very much inspired by Shameless's podcast. I mean, it was the first podcast I listened to and I absolutely loved. So it is fair to say that a lot of people draw inspiration from other popular podcasts. I mean, we even were discussing the fact that we really wanted to do a deep dive into different media cases that have really captured the public's attention. So for example, we're really interested in talking about the Chappelle Corby case, which Amy did her thesis on, and also Oscar Story. So like them, we have been inspired by not only their podcast, but You're Wrong About. And that's where really good ideas come from. So I am interested to see how they evolve the idea. However, I think the thing that stands out is the fact that they are a podcast that is already really successful. So is it fair not to give You're Wrong About the credit for the inspiration? That's what I'm wondering. Like, but I don't know the answer.
They might come out and say in their first episode that they were inspired by You're Wrong About. I think as a bigger podcast, they do have a greater responsibility to credit those who have inspired them. That being said, I'm actually so excited for this series.
I really am too, and I'll be listening to this podcast. However, it's got me thinking. They've touched on topics about Britney Spears, about Princess Diana, and also about Janet Jackson. Now, they've personally covered a few of those stories already on their podcast. Obviously, they're going to go into a deeper dive, but there are so many now podcasts out there that are sort of doing a similar thing. So I wonder if we're going to get fatigue around some of these stories.
Yeah, well, I was surprised that they referenced the Princess Diana story as being one that they were going to cover because it has been covered so well by You're Wrong About.
Yeah, it is interesting. And I suppose, will they be getting some of their research from that podcast and then transferring it across to themselves?
Well, they did say that they've hired a full-time researcher to do a lot of this work, which is rather interesting when you take a look at some of their reviews on Apple Podcasts because they have been heavily criticized for not getting their facts straight.
Yeah, well, just recently they were kind of criticized in their reviews because they said that the internet had been wiped clear of the Khloe Kardashian photo. However, you could quite easily find it on news websites. And they also got into a little bit of hot water because they said that the Meghan Markle Oprah interview was done at Gayle King's house. However, it clearly was reported that that was not the case.
Can I defend them here? Because as someone who also clearly does a podcast around timely matters, sometimes it is hard to make sure all of your facts are up to date.
Oh, it is really hard. And that's why I think it's interesting that they have got a researcher on board, and it's a podcast that they can now pre-record. So they can very much check that their facts are correct. Because, yeah, as you said, it's so hard to keep up and stories evolve so quickly.
I think it's interesting that they've scrapped their In Conversation show, because I think that was a part of their show that was getting a little bit old, and it felt like they'd interviewed everybody they possibly could. So from that perspective, it is a good move for them to go on to this new subject to talk about.
I really do feel like it was time for them to do something different, especially the fact that they had changed their regular Monday show to a Thursday. Because it was being released on a Thursday, it kind of felt a little bit less relevant. So I really do think that they needed a bit of a makeover, and I think this might be it for them. And you can also tell in their stories, they seem a lot more passionate about this one. They seem really excited. So I personally can't wait to hear the first episode.
I think what makes this story even more interesting is the fact that Mamma Mia announced on Thursday that they too will be launching their own new podcast called Extraordinary Stories. So on Friday, they actually released the podcast album cover artwork, and it's quite clear that they're going to be discussing a lot of the topics Shameless are discussing. So in the photo, it's kind of like these women's half of their faces, and one is Ida Butros, another is Britney Spears, there's also Princess Diana and Naomi Campbell. Now on the artwork, they reference magazine Queens, and the blurb says, "The stories you thought you knew, told by the women who already do. From the glamour and scandal of Australia's magazine Queens to an infamous well-known con woman to the princesses who've had to shake off a tragic curse. Host Emma Gillespie cuts through the rumours to transport you into a story you hadn't heard before. Extraordinary lives told by extraordinary people. Welcome to Extraordinary Stories."
I don't like the name as much. I have to say, if we're comparing the two here, I think Scandal is a lot more relevant to young people. It sounds a little bit more like exciting.
Yeah, but Mamma Mia's audience isn't Shameless's audience. Like, the Mamma Mia podcasts are sort of for women aged, I would say, 25 to 55. Well, it seems like Mamma Mia might be a little bit annoyed about the fact that Shameless have kind of overshadowed their new announcement. So Mamma Mia Out Loud producer Eliza Ratliff shared on her Instagram story on Friday a post that said, "On the 12th of November 2020, Em Gillespie and I locked ourselves in a room for 2 days and planned something extraordinary." Now, the timing is pretty important because Shameless said that they came up with the concept 5 months ago. So 5 months ago was actually the date that they released their episode about Princess Diana. Now, I kind of am questioning whether this is when they actually started working on the podcast or the idea came about, because it seems like Mamma Mia have been actively working on this new podcast. It makes me think, did Shameless get a tip off that their idea was similar to Mamma Mia's and they've quickly tried to launch it beforehand?
Wait. So just to confirm, they both claim to have had the idea in November.
Yeah. So Shameless have said 5 months ago, which is November, and their podcast about Princess Diana that they apparently got the inspiration for this new idea was released on November the 30th. And now Eliza Ratliff is saying, "Well, me and Em Gillespie, we were sitting around talking about this idea on November 12th.
Wow. Is it a bit of a coincidence that You're Wrong About was number one during that time? I would assume that a lot of these big podcast companies would be having a good look at the charts and seeing what sort of programs are resonating with young women.
Yeah. Well, I wonder though, because you would assume that Shameless have had a tip off that this Mamma Mia podcast is coming out because they've announced it a week before Mamma Mia, but then not actually dropped an episode. Like, normally when you announce a series is coming, you then announce, oh, it's dropping in a few days, not in 2 weeks' time.
Yeah, normally it's a really immediate call to action. So that day, or as you said, a couple of days later. I have question marks also around the fact that Scandal is dropping in the Shameless feed. I mean, it does make sense because there's a ready-built audience. However, Love Etc. has had its own podcast feed and a totally different branding. I mean, that might have something to do with the fact that Bumble are sponsoring it. However, I felt like there was a lack of branding and artwork that was released on the date. Well, even when they were producing She's on the Money, they tried to keep it very separate because they are really doing a very good job at building a massive media empire.
And even the fact that they just put out a reel to make the announcement, I don't know, as you say, I think it was all very rushed to beat Mamma Mia.
Do you blame them though? I mean, if they both had the idea, if you had the idea and you knew someone was going to release it, would you try and release it earlier?
100% I would. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I mean, when I heard that they had
put out basically a similar idea to us, I was like, fuck, why did we bloody come out with it? So I completely see, like, I do think it's interesting though that there must be some sort of source within Mamma Mia who's tipped them off. Oh, I wonder who that person is.
Well, they all seem to be still friendly with some of the writers at Mamma Mia. So I wonder if that Mamma Mia are trying to work out who is the one that squealed.
Well, the best part about this is that I've got two very good podcasts, I'm assuming, I haven't listened yet, to add to my podcast rotation.
Like, I feel like every year has a new energy. And I feel like this year is really about like the year of just realizing stuff. And everyone around me, we're all just like realizing things.
Now let's get into the secret world of social media engagement pods and the wannabe influencers that are tricking brands and their followers. So for people who haven't heard about engagement pods, can you tell us what exactly they are?
Has it got anything to do with engagement rings? Because that's all I could think about.
Nothing to do with engagement rings at all. It's more of a social media method to fake following. So it's quite well known that a lot of wannabe influencers are using a range of tactics to inflate their social media followings. And one of the most popular at the moment are these engagement pods. So basically they are private groups of people who like each other's posts to fake likes and engagement on social media. So the groups try to trick Instagram's algorithm by giving posts a spike of engagement to make the post appear more valuable and to make sure it's prioritized in the Explorer section as well as the followers feed. I mean, it's also used so that, you know, potential brands look at it and say, oh, wow, this person has an engaged audience. People are commenting. So it really does significantly boost the visibility of that user's post.
Yeah, because it is thought that if a post initially gets a lot of engagement on it, it will then push it into more people's feeds.
There's a lot of people out there like working in social media with people that are probably over 35, 40 that don't actually understand that your post, if you've got 50,000 followers, your post doesn't actually appear in every single one of those people's feeds. It's engagement that drives that post into more people's news feeds. It seems like a very sophisticated form of getting likes, because I remember back in the day when Kylie Jenner would post a photo and literally everyone would be like for like underneath. It just seems like it's more of an organized situation going on.
It's so true, because as you say, about 5 years ago, the easiest way to pose as an influencer was either to do those likes for like comments or to simply buy followers, which could be purchased for a couple of dollars. But however, now as social media platforms really become more savvy and the brands become more savvy, they're having to go to these extents to kind of trick people. So,
and they're real, but they're real people, aren't they? Because before you were saying you could buy fake followers, but the people that are liking and engaging with your posts are actually real.
Yeah, they are real people, and that is why it's so confusing for brands. And also, usually Instagram or Facebook tries to block out bots. So the fact that they are real people, they aren't getting blocked, and this isn't being moderated in any way.
Well, a couple of years ago, and I suppose it matches up when these engagement pods first became popular, I do remember Instagram did that big cull of all of those bot accounts and there were so many influencers that lost a lot of followers.
Well, as you say, it's no longer just the number of followers you have that is important. The engagement rate has now become really the new online currency. So posts that have a higher engagement rate get prioritized on Instagram's algorithm, which then leads to higher visibility.
So how do people actually find these engagement pods? Because we actually had a run-in with a wannabe influencer a while ago, and we will not go into the details of that. However,
a mummy blogger.
Yeah, it was a mummy blogger, and it became quite apparent that she was in sort of a mummy blogger engagement pod, and it seems like they are able to find these niche markets that I suppose brands are hoping to actually target. So it actually adds to the realness of these influencers.
Yeah, well, what's scary is that they are actually really accessible, and I don't want to give anyone ideas out there, but yeah, you can do a simple Google search or even find a Facebook group that relates to these engagement pods. And as you touched on before, Kate, you really want to find an engagement pod that has, you know, the similar interest to you. So as you say, a mummy blogger pod, or, you know, even on my dog Archie's Instagram account, I keep getting sent these messages from these engagement pods who want me to try and sign up with them.
Oh,
I
know.
He's got so many followers.
No. I was like, what are these things? And it's like, oh, like for like. But yeah, so there's two different sorts of pods. There's either a manual one or an automated group pod. So basically,
you can either buy software for one of these pods or you can engage with them yourself.
Is that like that Follow Like a app thing?
Yeah, it's very similar to that sort of thing because it puts you in the right sort of pod groups.
I do remember back in the day when a lot of companies were signing up to Follow Like a, and it was basically, as you said, an automated app that would follow and then unfollow a whole lot of different accounts and leave these like really embarrassing bulk messages. And you could really tell which influencers were engaging in this. I think that what's that guy from Love Island Australia?
Oh, Teddy.
Yeah. Yeah. He's definitely on Follow Like
or some sort of. Everyone up in
there. Yeah. With those sort of money.
That's worse though. I feel like if it's an automated thing, I mean, I think it's bad being a part of a pod group, but at least the people in those groups are actually going and looking at the content.
But that's the thing. In some of these pod groups, also, but I'll explain how it works. I'll give an example. So let's call our wannabe influencer Amber. So basically Amber joins one of these groups. And before she can get any likes on her own photo, she has to prove that she has engaged with a number of other members' photos. So she has to like about 5 other people's posts before she's allowed to put her photo in the group. She then shares a URL link to her photo that she wants comments on. In some cases, Amber can specify the exact comments she wants back from people under the post.
What?
It is absolutely wild.
Wait, so how do they make sure that not everyone writes the same comment?
Well, I actually don't understand the complete intricacies as I'm not part of this group.
But is that why all the comments are like, you hey go, babe. Girl?
Yeah. I suppose they have to kind of read the comments above to see that they're not doing exactly the same.
But I think as with some of these automated groups, some of the people who are engaging are actually bots as well.
Wow.
So it's absolutely wild what's going on because I really wasn't aware of this until quite recently, Kate, when we had our run-in with the wannabe influencer. And also when I started running Archie's page and I kept getting these messages pop up.
Well, I read an article on Tribe and it was saying that more and more social media managers are becoming aware of these kind of groups and they're looking for people who have similar comments on their pages because it's pretty apparent if you click on an influencer's page and all of their photos are commented on by the exact same people, it's pretty obvious they're part of a pod group. But what's also a bit sad is that while a lot of the social media managers of big brands might be cottoning onto it, what about the small business owners who don't understand that actually this person isn't truly getting 40 comments, it's 40 sort of fake comments?
Oh, it's very immoral. It does make me think though, because we discussed last week about influencers with a lot of male followers and it almost seems like they have their own engagement pod of seedy men in different countries.
Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah. But it made me think though, who actually leaves comments on influencers' photos? I'd be really interested if people in our community can tell us, because I feel like now when you've got that forward button where you can actually send influencers or people's posts on social media directly to your friend, that's when you make comments. And it's usually like, oh my gosh, I love this person's jacket, or probably derogatory things, unfortunately, that other people might send.
Can you imagine though what it must be like at high school these days? I mean, I think back to our time at high school when really all we had to worry about was MySpace and whether you were in someone's top friends or not. But that was stressful. But these young people, in order to be perceived as popular at school, you can't just be popular in your own setting. You also have to be incredibly popular online and be perceived as an influencer. And some of the research I've done into this is showing that a lot of these teenagers are part of these pod groups and they are also trying to pretend that they have sponsored deals. So they will go out and take photos at a restaurant of their coffee or food or in clothes that they've brought, and they will purposely hashtag sponsored content or SponCon to act as if they have actually been seeked out. And that gives them some sort of clout and status.
What does this do for these people's mental health though, particularly teenagers' mental health? Because they know deep down that the people interacting with their photos are not real, and not real in the sense that they might not be bots, but they're only interacting with their photos to personally gain something, which is clout and Instagram likes and followers. So really, it's kind of sad that these people know deep down that they don't have followers, but then they're trying to act like an influencer
It's just bizarre.
Well, it's kind of faking it before they make it, isn't it? And I feel like a lot of big influencers out there used to do that years ago and by buying followers, because the whole reason why and the whole psychology of why people actually buy fake followers or join these engagement pods is because it's social proofing. So for example, you know, if you go and click on a fashion article, maybe it's an article about what jeans to wear, and there's two articles, one's got 2 shares and one's got 1,000 shares. You're always going to click on the one with the 1,000 shares. It's a bit like I'd never go onto someone's page that had 300 followers and randomly follow them. But I'll feel fine about following a stranger I don't know that has 50,000 followers. So they're kind of setting themselves up. That's the psychology behind it. They want people to think that they are important, so then they get that following later on.
So, but what's it psychologically doing to them? Because that's the psychology behind gaining followers. But what's the psychological effect on them? Because it must be pretty crazy to be pretending to yourself and all these people that you are important when actual fact you're not in the eyes of social media.
Well, they're obviously seeking validation, aren't they?
I think the validation from who? Because it's fake people.
Well, they're seeking validation from other people in terms of people they know, because if they see that they've got all these likes, then this person thinks, oh, they're going to think better of me, so because like I'm status, popular. Status. Yeah, I think that's what it is. I mean, I'm not a psychologist, but that's what I think it would be.
But also they are desperately hoping that if they look like the real deal and if these pod groups are boosting their algorithm, that they will be featured somewhere and that their content is so good and so interesting that they will then get genuine followers.
It seems like for some fake influencers, it's a case of denial.
Well, other than engagement pods, there's also another way that wannabe influencers as well as businesses are actually gaining more followers and engagement. And it's through those infamous giveaways that you often see celebrities like the Kardashians doing. You know, those posts that you see and they're sitting on a staircase with all these luxury bags and cash, and you have to follow all of the businesses in order to be in the running.
You can spot these posts from a mile away. They all look the same. I saw Anastasia Kingsnorth doing one just yesterday and I thought, oh, these things still a thing.
Who actually wins? Because they never announce the winner, and you would think that the winner would tag the person that they won it from in a post.
Yeah, well, what's really interesting is that it is kind of hard to keep a tab on these competitions, because often the influencer or the celebrity deletes the post as soon as the competition winner has been announced, because because it's quite embarrassing. So popular US website Betches, they did a bit of digging, and there's a business called Curated Businesses in America, and they handle a lot of the competitions with the Kardashians. And this business worked with Kylie Jenner a few years ago when she did a big giveaway. And on their website, they claimed that companies who signed up as part of this competition received over 230,000 new followers. And the article went on to say that each of the businesses involved in this giveaway paid $25,000 for the opportunity to be tagged in the post, and there were 75 businesses. So this company would have made close to $2 million for this single post.
They should have just joined the engagement pods, everyone. It's a bit of a cheaper thing to do.
But the thing is, how many of these businesses are going to retain those followers? Because, look, I've been sucked into competitions where I have to follow an account. Okay, it's not 75, it's usually like one or two. But I usually unfollow that account as soon as I don't win the competition.
Oh, definitely. Sometimes you're like, what is this in my feed?
Well, it seems like the UK watchdog is actually cracking down on some competitions on Instagram, because recently Molly May, who was on Love Island, she ran a competition by herself. So she put up £8,000 worth of prizes, and she asked her followers to comment on the post, so to tag somebody, and also like the post, and then go and subscribe to her YouTube channel as well as her brand's YouTube channel.
So it was slightly different in the fact that she was just promoting herself and she had purchased the gift herself. So it wasn't involving a number of different brands.
And that seems to be a really common way that people do competitions these days. It's usually like, say, Sarah's Days partnered up with White Fox Boutique, like, you know, like her page, like their page, and comment. It's a pretty general thing we see.
Well, what happened was 12 people actually complained to the UK watchdog and said that they believe that Molly May and her management team didn't fairly pick the winner of the competition. And Molly May was quite transparent about it. She said that she was overwhelmed with the number of people who actually entered the competition. So she had 3 million people comment, and what they did was her manager went through and picked out 100 different names. They gave each of those person a number, and then there's this Google app that you can use that randomly picks out a number, and that's how they drew it. But the UK watchdog said that that wasn't fair for all of the people who had entered.
To be fair, though, there's a reason why Molly May set this competition up, and it's quite obvious that she's going to gain more by getting more followers than $8,000, because she wouldn't give $8,000 away.
Well, as you said, these bigger companies pay $25,000 to be involved in the Kylie Jenner giveaway, so $8,000 in comparison isn't that much.
But it's her own followers. She's promoting the competition to her own followers.
Yeah, but what I'm friends, saying... But then friends who tag, then her audience becomes bigger and bigger and bigger.
So she's essentially gained 3 million extra followers if 3 million people entered correctly. So that's a massive thing. And if you're going to run a competition like that, then you've got to have pretty decent terms and conditions. And I think, you know, if she put in the terms and conditions, the winner will be decided upon at the discretion of Molly May. Fair enough. Mm. But if she said that the winner's going to be randomly picked, I think by selecting 100 people and then randomly selecting from there, it doesn't really seem fair.
I mean, to be fair, though, all these people did. They didn't have to pay to enter the competition.
I just think they
didn't have to. They didn't have a gun to their head to enter.
Yeah, I'm on Molly May's side. I think these people are just sour that they didn't win.
No, I feel like Molly May has actually gained a lot from the competition, and she's a legitimate business, and she directed people to her legitimate business's YouTube account and gained a lot of followers from there. So she needs to run by the rules.
Well, but she also received a lot of bad publicity because 12 people decided to have an issue.
I think she did go by the rules. I mean, you know, there were 3 million comments, but they would have been people that were commenting multiple entries.
Yeah, but if the rules were followed, the watchdog wouldn't have got involved.
Look, I think, you know what? She's pretty clever, because I'd rather pay $8,000 to get a million subscribers than paying $25,000 for 240.
Well, that's the thing, though. With these sort of watchdogs, it really seems like there's just simply a slap on the wrist, don't do it again, and a little bit of public shaming that goes with it. I mean, we saw Anna Heinrich from The Bachelor. She copped the first sort of slap on the wrist regarding sponsored posts and not revealing that she was actually paid to promote a fashion brand.
Mm.
So it'll be really interesting to see how that actually starts evolving in Australia.
But do you notice it's only the really large influencers who seem to be being punished? Because these are smaller, you know, these people who are in these engagement pods, they're smaller influencers. And I feel like they're even worse because they're ripping off small businesses by pretending to be something that they're not.
But that being said, I wanted to touch on it earlier. It's actually not just micro-influencers who apparently join these groups. There are some engagement pods that require you to have at least 50,000 followers in order to join. So just say, for instance, if someone has 1 million followers, if they engage with your post and like it, Instagram pushes it up even further in the discovery feed.
Okay, I didn't realize that. It will be really interesting to see how Australia's social media rules evolve. I mean, we're definitely not in the same place that the UK are. And I really do wonder, will there be rules that stop engagement pods from happening?
Mm. And I feel like it was really important to talk about this today, because I know that a lot of small business owners do listen to our podcast, as well as marketing professionals. And I think it is so important to be able to spot these people, because personally, it made me really angry when I saw this individual that we had a run-in with doing this. And she was also doing the same thing with fake sponsored content.
Yeah.
And it just becomes so utterly confusing for business owners and such a head fuck.
Yeah. And one tip is, if the person is posting content that looks shit, that is in no way engaging,
that's photoshopped,
that's photoshopped, it's not a real influencer.
Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. Thank you so much for joining us. And if you did like the podcast, we would love it if you could subscribe and leave a review.
And if you do want to join in the conversation, head over to our Facebook group, which is Outspoken, the podcast community.